Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, July 27, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 54, the first paragraph that starts, "We found too that we had been worshipers," through one paragraph ending, "We had been living by faith and little else," commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Laurel B., 12 Traditions, Lisa C., readers of the text, Elizabeth D., Penny E., our backup, Robin P., newcomer greeter, Felicia S., and second hour host, Abby D. The reference number for Sunday, July 26, 2026 meeting is 23,666. That's 23666. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Laurel B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning, Janet. This is Laurel B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, self-through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thanks so much, Laurel. And I will now ask Lisa C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C., recovered in New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 54, the first paragraph that begins, we found too that we had been worshipers, through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else, commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Elizabeth D. to begin reading. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, ourselves, and then, with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower, who of us had not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing, we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity, faith, or love, or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith, and little else. What do I say about this paragraph? There's so much going on here, and I'm so looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say about their experience with this paragraph. We're in We Agnostics, and so this is the place where Bill is. Trying to be his most persuasive. He's a salesperson, and he is asking the reader to consider where they are in the question of faith and worship, because from the experience of these early AAs, that is the key to becoming recovered from alcoholism. And so this is incredibly important that he, and I get a little impatient sometimes with this part of the chapter, because he gets so salesy, if you will. And I'm in a sales field, so I understand persuasion and its purposes. But you know, the fact is, persuasion, at some point you have to let all that go and just whoever you are, I think ultimately what he's getting to is he's trying to say that everyone has the capacity for faith. Even if you think you don't have the capacity for faith, please, he's saying, let us reassure you that we do. Because think back in your past. Have you not loved someone? Have you not had feelings, worshipped things in your life, whatever they may be? And so there, you know, the feeling of worship or the feeling of expression of reverence or adoration for something or someone is there inside each of us. And I can really understand that. For me, I've always been a religious person, a spiritual person. What I had to come to in this question of faith and this question of worship was ultimately, can God restore me to sanity around my food issue? Because all through my addictive life, as I was working, you know, I was practicing my addiction, I really thought that God didn't have a place in that, that I needed to exercise my own power in order to relieve this problem and to get to a healthy weight. But it wasn't until I, even as a religious person, I let go of that, and I decided that, yes, I can believe that God can restore me to sanity. So what does that mean? What that means is I have to let go of my old ideas, my prejudices, and I have
That's
to
time.
Trust. Thank you. I need to trust another person to help me with this and to let go completely and surrender. I did that, and I am eternally grateful that I did it. It changed my life for the better, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Elizabeth, and I will now take a list of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, please hold back. Let your friends share. Who'd like to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Robin Lisa. P. in Tennessee.
Robin.
Larry K.
Larry. You guys, there's so much rich stuff in this paragraph.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl.
Betty Jean from Connecticut.
Betty Jean.
Jackie A. from Connecticut.
Jackie.
Yep.
I've got Lisa B., Robin P., Larry K., Cheryl A., Betty Jean, and Jackie A. Let's get a few more names in. If you haven't shared in a while or ever, this is a great chance. Beautiful paragraph. Okay, we will start with this lineup. Lisa B., you are up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. And thank you, Elizabeth D., for your lead share. I just want to say how grateful I am for this meeting and this study. Reading the big book one paragraph at a time and hearing everyone's experience, it just keeps opening my eyes and my ears. And lately, being in this We Agnostics, I feel like hearing things for the first time that I hadn't heard before. So when I read this paragraph, this is what stands out for me. Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? And yes, the answer is yes. And then the big book lists people, money, possessions, ourselves, and even beautiful things. But it doesn't tell me that I lack faith for the capacity to worship. It tells me that I've had the capacity for awe and love and worship, but I'm seeing, and I continue to see, that my problem is that I place my trust in the wrong things often. And the issue isn't whether I have faith, so I've always had that faith, but I've trusted food to comfort me. I've trusted my own thinking. I've trusted approval and control and self-reliance. But what I'm really seeing more and more lately is how I trusted fear. I didn't realize how often fear was quietly determining the course of my life. And the paragraph is revealing, and it's helping me. This whole study continues to help me to see that I've always been trusting something, but where? Like, where am I placing my faith? And I don't think it's an accident that this paragraph comes right before step three, before I'm asked to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to God's care. And I see that I've already been living by faith, but I've just been placing it, you know, in the wrong thing. So recovery continues to make me aware of how I can trust fear. And I think that's part of what step two is doing for me. It's helping me become willing to believe that a power greater than myself can guide my life instead of my fear. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And next we've got Robin P. from Tennessee, followed by Larry K. in Chicago. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Jan, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P., and I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Franklin, Tennessee. And, you know, I worshiped food with my God, and it totally failed. And also, you know, I had been abstinent. I've been abstinent for 10 years by God's grace through this amazing program of Vision for You. Before that, I tried to be abstinent and kept sort of worshiping other things, like people, you know, changing addictions, like changing rooms on the Titanic. You're still in the stateroom. You're still going down. That was my experience. You know, at about 2.5 years in, I got very obsessed in a relationship and wasn't working the steps and went back out. And it was a long road back. And I'm so grateful. And none of those things filled that God hole because they're not meant to fill that God hole. And, you know, the miracle today is working the recovery and working the steps and reaching up and reaching out and having a relationship with God of my understanding today. And with other people, and in instead of just isolated, completely isolated with the food, and that capacity for faith, for love, it's just and for worship. I've experienced, you know, this faith walk, and instead of a fear walk, and you know, this weekend we were supposed to bring our dogs that we've been fostering for almost 3 years, and from Costa Rica, and we were supposed to bring them to their, we found a couple in Cape Cod, and we were supposed to bring them there, and because we're moving to London, and it's really hard to take dogs there, and especially on our schedule that we'll be on, and we drove, it's a 19-hour drive, we drove halfway, kept praying, I kept reaching out, I kept doing 10 steps and two-way prayer. Both my husband and I were doing that and working our programs and praying and asking for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And we turned around. And then we felt a nudge that we were supposed to go. So we went again. And we turned around. And the night before last, we realized this is our family. And we are taking these dogs to London. They are Costa Rican, American, British dogs, it turns out. They were homeless jungle dogs, and now they will be British. And they're international citizens, I guess, and just like all of us. And we turned around, we came home, we called the agency that had been helping us, and we called a couple. And
time.
Thank you. And this is our family. And this is a result of working this recovery through thick and thin, because, man, I did a lot of crying this weekend. And God helps me. God always helps me. When I seek God, God always is right there for me. God bless you. Thank you all for your prayers. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm sending you all huge hugs, and I pass.
Thanks, Robin. And next we have Larry K., followed by Cheryl A. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Janet. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. And thanks for everyone's service. You know, it says the paragraph, in one form or another, we were living by faith. You know, it was like Groundhog Day. Every morning I would get up. I'm an early riser. I still am. And there was a donut shop that opened at, I don't know, 4 a.m. And, you know, I had great faith in a couple of things. One, that they'd be open, and they never disappointed. They were always open. The other thing is that as life continued to beat the living daylights out of me, I also had great faith that when I would go to get my heroin alcoholic foods, that they would have an effect on me that they would numb me out from life. And I was right. That faith was placed in it, in the food. And I saw what the food was doing for me, not what it was doing to me, as I was busting out of my jeans and my clothes didn't fit. And as I was miserable and tearing up relationships and just all manner of unmanageability, I didn't see that. I saw what the food was doing for me, and I had great faith, and it did work for a long time, seemingly. But anyone who's been shattered by this disease understands that we were placing our faith in food, and I was, and even just ordering a pizza, I had great faith that when it got there, it would calm me down. It would give me some degree of euphoria, and I had great faith in that, and it worked for a time. But we come into program, and the closer we come to the divine light, I think the ego mind is suspicious at best and vicious at worst. And, you know, wherever I had those psychic wounds, where they were, that's where God came in. That was the pathway to my awakened consciousness. You know, and eventually I could put the food down. And newsflash, we're all going through these psychic wounds. I mean, if you, of course you are, right? And they're presented to us, I believe, so that we can awaken to a new experience. So we're broken. God comes flooding in when we begin to work this practical program of spiritual action. Do I have patience? Do I have perseverance? You know, the disease just had its way with me. And there's no order of difficulty in the miraculous. There's no order of difficulty. The miraculous, I was closer than I thought. I just had to pick up some simple tools, some simple steps, begin to apply them in my life. And, you know, but quit trying to be the director of the movie. Didn't work. And when I put the food down, I had to have a substitute. And that was God for me. That was a higher power. That was a spiritual awakening. No better way of life. With that, I pass. Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Larry. And next we've got Cheryl A., followed by Betty Jean. Cheryl, can you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Sure. Hi, good morning. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts. I'm currently in Gananoqua Lake, Canada. This paragraph is sort of getting us set up to be open to what is invisible so that we can begin to grasp, well, what is this higher power? Because it is something that is invisible. And it sets me up to be very open to two paragraphs later on in the big book. One on 63, where it talks about as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, those things are not tangible, feeling a power flow in or enjoying peace of mind. It's something that's within us. And then even later on 87, where it says that what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I mean, those things are not things we do with our hands. They're things we intuit from our heart and from the experience we have inside of us. And ultimately, this program has been all about how do I live inside of me? How do I live? How do I discern what is of a higher source and what is of a lower impulse? Because for us addicts, we yearn so badly for however we define something higher, except we get wired to react to what is lower. In my faith, there's a beautiful book called Duties of the Heart. And it takes a look at what are the duties of living within the internal world. And I wish that person who wrote the book had met hundreds of years later, Bill, because we have this book that gives us a structure for the unstructured. And that ultimately allows us to survive. Because for us addicts, we have to learn how to live internally. And it is through developing a sense and relationship with a higher power that we're able to begin to grasp how do we live inside, not just how do we take some, pick something up with our hands. I've been blessed to have a spiritual experience, a couple of them, and I'm so grateful for it because I know, given that experience, it gives me more battery.
Thank you. Battery life for understanding the internal.
But all I have to do is follow the instructions in this book, and it will all come. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks, Cheryl. And next we've got Betty Jean from Connecticut, followed by Jackie A., also in Connecticut. Good morning, Betty Jean.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Betty Jean, recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. So, so good to be here with you all today. I'm here with you every day, but good to be able to hear these wonderful shares today and share with you. When I was in the food, that's what guided me. That's what I worshipped, and that's what controlled my whole life, and I did not realize it. I was addicted to comfort. I was also addicted to the drama that was going on in my life. I would put my trust in other groups, in the diet clubs that I joined, in the gyms that I joined, in the self-help books that I bought and put in my house and read till about the fourth chapter. I put my trust in those things. And mostly I put my trust in myself. God, I realized, had to do a lot of work to get to me, to reach me, and I had to be willing. And for a long time, I didn't know that I wasn't willing. The food completely took over my mind, my actions, my days. And it took over my thinking, and my thinking was really distorted. So I really had to give up a lot. And I remember at my first meeting, it was in a church basement, and people were talking about their feelings and about food, and I wanted to talk about a diet plan. And I wanted them to give me a diet. And I just wanted to lose weight. And a woman came up to me and said, "This isn't about the food." And I thought, maybe not for you, honey, but I'm here to lose some weight. And it took me years to really understand what this was about and how completely controlled my thinking had been before I came into program. But at that first meeting, I saw people who were happy and relaxed and peaceful. And they, most of all, they were welcoming and accepting of me. And that was the first time in my life that I felt accepted and part of a group. So I knew that this was something different and that I should at least give it a try. I'd given everything else a try and certainly had failed miserably at all of that. And so it was time to turn my will and my life over completely. And that has made all the difference. My life has a before and after line. Before program and afterwards. And I could say before abandoning myself to God and afterwards. And I'm so grateful for all of you helping me with this addiction. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Betty Jean. And next up, we have Jackie A. from Connecticut, and then we will take some more names. Jackie A., good morning.
Awesome. Thank you so much to everybody on this line. Hello, everybody. Yes, I'm from Connecticut. I'm very grateful to be here today. Of course, I'm hiking, traveling, and I can get to enjoy everybody's shares. I am blessed because this, honestly, it made me think about, so for myself, I would say that I'm a very spiritual person. Before and after the food, I definitely had some connection to a higher power. And I will advocate for the sake of, like, the three-legged stool. I don't think I believed in the three-legged stool as much. I think I, in programs, had learned that, how important that is. And in being in here almost 5 years, it'll be 5 years in September, is the necessity to have that understanding of it's not just spiritual. Like, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but like it can be like a cult like following to be like, oh, I'm so spiritual, look, and then feel it with like, I mean, jump off a bridge type of like understanding of God's got me. And I wouldn't do that, but I'm saying like that leap of faith. And instead I had to really look like I was ignoring the fact that like I wasn't paying attention enough to my body. I wasn't paying attention to know that after 3 years I have strayed from a plan of eating that was actually meant for my body. I wasn't paying attention that I needed a lot more help when it came to regulating my emotions because of like things on the outside were and really hurting the things on the inside. And so I'm very blessed today that I can say I have a new sponsor. I have new meetings that I've been going to that address like the anorexic, bulimic, compulsive exerciser part of me. And that's because like God kept showing me you're not aligned with what you need. Like you need more. And it got so loud in my head. And I had to really move away from like the elitist structures, like if something feeling and like I felt not othering, it just felt like bad. Like I felt repulsive. It was like, this is not a space for you. Like you need to move on to different territory. And I had to do that a lot in different things or give up different identities that I was holding on to so much because spiritually God was like, I'm just going to show you who you are, forget all the pretenses and like purity testing, like, you need to be truer to yourself, and if not, you're gonna be in a trance, and you're gonna touch the food, and you're gonna be like hijacked by whether it's trauma or like just distractions. And so I'm very blessed today that if I can recognize with a quieter sense of like this is for or not for me, and then kind of get an arrow of where to go. So I'm grateful for that. I'm going hiking. I'm praying to God for lots of arrows today. Not through me, not like getting shot by a crossbow or anything, but like in a sense of like, tell me where to go. Tell me when to stop. Tell me when to rest, God. And tell me who to help. And so that I pass. Thank you so much for this. Appreciate you all.
Thanks, Jackie. And I'll take some more names. But first, let me tell you all where we are. We are on page 54. The first paragraph that begins with, we found too that we had been worshipers. Through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else. Who else would like to share?
Erwin G.
Aline S. in New York.
Leah F.
And Janice P.M.
Okay, I think I missed a bunch of people. Let me tell you who I got. And Harlan G., Elaine F., Leah S., Janice PM. I can get four more people in.
Jen F.
Farid L.
Someone L. Can you say that again, please?
Farid L.
Missed it again.
Farid, S-A-R-I-T.
Farid, got you. Okay, can take two more people. Well, we'll go with these names and see who gets inspired to share after that. That Harlan G, Elaine F, Leah S, Janice PM, Jen F, and Sarit L. Harlan, you are
up. Hey, Janet, did you call me? I'm sorry, I was on
mute. Did.
Okay.
You did.
Thanks, Janet, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Please don't be gentle with your reminder. It's very windy out here. God. On page 12 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson writes these words, and this was when the nexus, the confluence came of steps one and two. He says, and I'm quoting, I saw. What did he see? He saw recovery, saw it in the face of Ebby. He had been hospitalized twice before at Towns Hospital. He had seen moderate, heavy drinkers and alcoholics not drinking. And the alcoholics like him were not drinking, but they were miserable, miserable because they had no recovery. He said, I saw, I felt. What did he feel? For the very first time in his life, he felt hope. And what was he hopeful about? See, and the next thing he writes is, I believe. What did he believe? That God could and would if he were sought. Lake Michigan inspired me.
Dandelions inspired me, but my life discouraged me. It's not that I didn't believe that God could and would restore me to anything. I didn't want him to because I didn't want to give up the food. I didn't want to give up my best friend, my lover, my companion. I didn't want to give up the food. Make it so that I can be thin and sane and serene and not give up the food. And punish the people that hurt me. Punish them. Make them see the error of their ways. Bring me a girlfriend. Bring me $10 million. Bring me a Rolls Royce. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for me. And the thing that I feared wasn't God. The thing I feared was work. And part of that work was giving up the food. Part of that work was doing the inventories and the steps and sponsoring others. And what I feared most, in God's infinite love and wisdom, the benevolence that he has for me on an every second basis, became the greatest joy, the greatest gift of my life. Being part of this program, being part of this Overeaters Anonymous Fellowship, is the greatest experience of my life, and I've had lots of experiences. Yes, the flower, Lake Michigan, are beautiful, but my recovery is even more beautiful. My recovery and my relationship with God grows richer and stronger every day. My relationship with myself gets more positive. It gets more loving every day. Thanks for your service, Janet. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Harlan. And next we have Elaine S., followed by Leia S. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, this is Aline S. in New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I am Aline S. in upstate New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I came to OA and to Visions about a year ago from another 12-step program, Food Fellowship. And what strikes me about this paragraph is I can worship anything. I can even worship the things. There's no limit to what I can make my higher power. And certainly when I was in my full-blown disease, it was the food and my self-centered thinking. But I didn't realize that, like, my need for control was so outstanding that I was in constant internal dialogue and thought as the CEO of the Aline PR agency. What did you think of me? What would everyone think? You didn't need to like me, but I needed you to want to be me. I needed to feel superior, actually. And that brings me to what came clear in my 8 years in my previous food fellowship. Toward the end, I was getting very clearly that my spiritual life was not being enriched. I really was kind of outsourcing my recovery, just checking the boxes, doing all the right things, the good things, the things I had been told. And I loved being thin, and I loved being abstinent, and I loved telling you about it. I wouldn't have told you I felt superior, but I definitely felt superior. And toward the end there, it became clear to me that I was worshiping. The reason I wasn't spiritually growing is I was worshiping my food plan, my length of abstinence, and always that number on the big scale. Always. Those were my higher power. And not until I came here and I started working through the 12 steps in earnest with a sponsor did I realize that wasn't the spirit of the big book. I hadn't really even read the big book except 2 pages at night. And it was incongruous because it wasn't ever a whole step or a whole story or a whole process. But for me, I just needed to get on because I've been listening and I've kind of had one foot out the door, and I recently got a new sponsor, someone who's going to help me work through the steps again. And she told me to get involved and get on these meetings. And man, I asked her if I was a food addict. She told me to ask my higher power. And I feel like in the last week since that happened, I've kind of rapid cycled through my disease. So God has put me here for a reason. I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you, Janet, for your service. And this is Aline S. in New York.
Thanks, Aline. And next we've got Leah S. followed by Janice PM. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Janet, thank you so much for your service. Okay, my name is Leah S., and I am back in Brooklyn. I am commuting. And I am here in this paragraph, all of it. I am very aware. What is that? What is my awareness? That I used to, I didn't like what you did, or I didn't like the circumstance or situation that I was in. And I would let you know exactly how to do it and what to do so that you can get out of it. You know, this is not the way it's supposed to be, or the way I see it, you know, and if you didn't listen to me, I would, you know, just pop something into my mouth so I can feel more confident and I can feel even better. And those sugars, they really did a number on me, you know. They gave me that good feeling. They gave me the power and the stamina. You know, it's not like I don't believe in God. It's just, you know, like certain areas where I choose to bring him into my life. And the truth of the matter is that in every situation, I had to bring God into my life. You know, just commuting back and forth from Brooklyn to upstate New York, you know, and go into a traffic and be in middle of the highway and see a suicide mission, somebody with a big sign, help me, right in middle of the highway. That's, you could look at really being, you know, like this guy is really on his, or was I on such a suicide mission? This is what I used to do. Or like my mind is not anymore like that. Poor guy. This is what he has resorted to. And let me be careful. And you know, this guy cut me right into traffic. And why is that guy this way? Or no. Thank you, God. You watched me, and I was able to maneuver my car so that I don't get hit, you know? That alone is like, wow, bringing God into every area of my life and every area making me so aware that these are the times that I used to pop things into my mouth, and I didn't see what damage that was doing to me. Really didn't. I got 26 seconds, but I'm going to give those to whoever wants to share. I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Leah. And next we've got Janice PM followed by Jen F. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. This is Janice PM, and I live in Massachusetts. And I'm a grateful, really grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I'm one of those that had a God, that had a faith, and then I lost it. Due to what? I lost it to the battle of my reasoning and my logic. That's what it is. It was like this for a long time, and it still happens. You know, it's my human power. And I have learned that my mind is so close to myself. I did learn that, you know, that I had to have it opened. And I think this is what the paragraph is showing us, that, you know, if you just want to, do you really want to? And that was mentioned, and it's so important. Talk about willingness. Yeah, you can have the willingness, but do you really want to? You know, I really didn't want to in the beginning. That's why, because I had a God, then I haven't gone back. And then I said, oh, God might do it, you know. But I didn't really want to stop eating. So, you know, there's the battle, reason. And, you know, I know that, you know, with my maladies that are physical and mental and spiritual, especially my cancer, I cannot reason my mind to cure it, to have escape from that health problem. I just can't. But you see, I have a spiritual malady also, beside my physical addiction and beside my mental obsession. And that's what I never did. I never, you know, because I was too intellectual. I was too into logic and reason. But my reliance was solely on me. And today, instead of the misuse of logic, I opened my mind through many, many meetings, through many, many failings, through many, many worships of people and love and where I'm going to find it to, you know, to the trust that I have. Like, we all have it. We all, you know, we trust that when we go into a restaurant that the workers have washed their hands. Well, we don't know. We haven't seen them wash their hands before they served me, you know. And the chair that I'm going to sit on, I don't know if it's going to, well, I trust that it's going to hold me. And maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But I'm going to sit on it anyway. So, you know what, you know, I relied on the wrong things, the wrong people, and the only one, all those were false gods.
It's time.
And today, I know, thank you much, that I have one true God, and that's God. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you. And next we have Jen F., followed by Sarit L. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. This is Jen F. from South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. So grateful to be recovered today. And in reading this paragraph, I'm sitting here and my heart is beating like it feels like it's going to come out of my chest, because when I read the line that says, had we not variously worshiped people, I have to just stop right there. Because when I was doing my step work with my sponsor, it became very apparent, and I come from a spiritual background, but I was really idolizing my child and had my child up on this tall pole and needed to do everything I could to live my life to make sure that his life was comfortable, his life was safe, that he was happy. I felt very tied into my identity being tied to his behavior. So if his behavior didn't appear to be right or acceptable, then I would be devastated. And it just kept failing. Obviously, he doesn't deserve that position. He doesn't have any power to offer to me to help me to get up and out of the disease. So my focus being on him, all I would do was just keep running back to the food every time I would get disappointed. And that would happen so many times every single day. And so doing the step work, my sponsor said, you really need to look at that. You really need to go to God. And you really need to say, like, are you idolizing your child? And when I really sat with God on that, it was a hard, hard conversation, you know, with God, but I wrestled through, and he really showed me all the areas that I was doing that. And I was able to clear up my side of the street with him on that before going into taking my solid third step. And so that jumped out at me with this. And then the sentence that says, were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Just think about that. Like a life constructed with tissue, a tissue you blow on it and it falls over. You can easily crumple it. And that was my life. One blow of discomfort and I was crumpled. I was knocked over. And so I just read this paragraph and it just really resonates with me. And I'm so thankful I'm on the other side of it now. I'm so thankful that I was able to make amends even with my son in this area and apologize for putting him in that position and expecting him to fulfill a need that only God could fulfill in me. And life is so rich now, and our relationship is so beautiful. It's like a transformation, like a beautiful transformation. The foundation is no longer a tissue. It's just a solid foundation, and we laugh together, and we embrace, and we share, and it's so beautiful, and I'm just so thankful to God for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jen. And now we've got Sarit L. Good morning, Sarit. Sarit L, press star one, please.
Hi, am I on?
You are on.
Okay, thank you so much. I am so happy to be here with all of you, but I am shaking because I don't like to share at the 7 a.m. meeting. So God put the words in my mouth. I just felt propelled to share. I'm Sarit L, recovered compulsive overeater in Montreal, Canada. Yes, I have been a worshiper and put all my faith in the food. And it's so amazing to just see how I can have faith and in the wrong places. And God made it that way, that we can feel independent. I put faith in cleanliness, in control. And I've reached out to people in program when I put so much faith in control. I don't want to pack. I don't want to go on vacation because I like when my kids' clothing and shirts and underwear are all neatly folded in a drawer. But where has that taken me? That kept my kids' clothing still in the drawer. That kept my house clean and the dishes in their place. But my kids were unhappy, or I was unhappy. I'd be playing with my kids and picking up toys at the same time because that's my sense of control overtaking me. My faith was still in the wrong place. And what I've learned is that in these rooms, I'm trusting God in every single area where God needs to come in, because my control, my faith and control is my tissue. It's in my bones, and it needs to be replaced by God, by something so much more powerful, so that I can live a happy life, not a life where my kids' clothing are still in their drawer and the toys are still in their place. That's not a happy life. It's a misplaced faith. And so God helps me with every one of my misplaced faith today when I work the steps and when I do a turnaround. And when I place my trust in God, the outcomes are better than I could have ever imagined. I have it with little details, with a conversation I didn't have with my husband about something, and it was supposed to happen. My sponsor and I had spoken about it, and I was a little bit too scared to confront him. And God made that conversation open up at another time. And the results and outcomes are in his time and his hands. And I'm just blown away by God showing up for me in ways that I could never imagine. I do want to add, I've heard in these rooms, and it's such a powerful line, one of the promises that we're blessed with is that I will outgrow fear. And what I've learned is that I can take steps today, even if my fear hasn't yet been outgrown, I can still take steps within the right actions that I believe my higher power would have me take, and God will then remove the fear completely from me. I still trust, and I can trust in my higher power and have faith that he will remove the fear completely, but I can take action in that direction, even if my fear hasn't been fully removed. And that's true faith in my higher power. And thank God for these steps, because they take me in that direction. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sarit. And we've got time for about a 90-second share. So who would like to take that?
Pete B.
Pete, you are up.
Thanks, Shannon, for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I'm grateful it was brought up earlier about Bill's meeting with Abby, and what Bill saw in Abby and what we get to see in other people. And I think what's interesting about that particular subject as it relates to our faith, right, is we have to understand the power of the substance. Because while Bill saw that and Bill asked at that time and knew that God would come to him if he needed him badly enough, it still took Bill 3 weeks to get sober. because Bill had the substance in his body and it was triggering the phenomenon of craving, and Bill could not put the drink down, even knowing that God could do for him what he couldn't do for himself because the substance was in his body. And he wasn't able to actually get sober until sometime in December. And I don't know the date off the top of my head, but because he finally put the drink down. The drink determined when he would put the drink down, right? And these substances are powerful. I know this from my own experience because I prayed for the obsession to be removed with a pint of Ben and Jerry's in my hand. And the only thing that got finished was the pint of Ben and Jerry's. Right? The phenomena of craving occurs from the substance being in our body. And until we put that substance down, the loving and merciful hand of God is, I don't want to say it, but from my experience was, it couldn't be realized. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who shared. Thank you for Team Monday in July. Please join us for second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, July 27, 2026, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,667. That's 23667. I'll now ask Penny E. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only on page 164.
Thank you. Penny E. recovered in South Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.